You can join me in reading the Lord's Word. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9 and 10. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, today we're asking you to please open up our eyes to the truth in your word. God, that you would move us more towards prayer that is Christ-centered and God-exalting. Lord, would you use this time today to open up our eyes to maybe new areas to pray or ways to pray. God, thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray for your anointing today to preach this service. Lord, you know all the needs of the people in this place. And God, I pray that you would lead me and guide me by your Spirit so that you would feed your sheep today, Good Shepherd, and that your name would be glorified. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing on in our prayer series. One of the things that we came to is in Matthew chapter 6. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. Clearly, his way of praying was different than what they had known. They were Jewish men, and they were raised in a certain way. This is how you pray, and Jesus prayed differently. So in response to that question, Jesus, teach us how to pray, Jesus gave them this outline. This wasn't a prayer that we needed to repeat. It was rather a skeleton saying, okay, pray like this. And part of that prayer, we're taking that prayer and kind of pulling it apart piece by piece. Today we're talking about your will be done. Your will be done. What does that mean when we're praying the will of God? First of all, God's will is the ultimate reason for everything that happens. God's will, God has a design, a plan. As we said, that plan is to exalt the name of Jesus, to glorify God's great name. Jesus' second coming, all of human history is moving towards that. And we see that all the things that are happening are according to God's will. He is working things that we don't understand at times. That doesn't mean that God is responsible for evil, but even in that situation, like when Jesus was crucified, evil men take responsibility for that, but God had a plan, and he used the corruptness of men, not causing it, but using it for his glory. And what we find here is, if we want our prayers to be effective and to be answered, then that we need to ask in accordance with God's word. If God's will is what is accomplishing everything that's happening, then if we ask according to his will, then we can have confidence in our prayer time. And when we look at this, we find God's moral or revealed will. And I'm going to just kind of break it down into two. But we can find God's moral or revealed will in his word. Those are the commands or precepts for moral conduct. That is what we will call God's revealed or moral will. Take a look at God's word again. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So there's a sense that if we are in Christ and we are in the word, that what we ask we'll receive. And the reason being is because we will ask according to the will of God. As long as you're close to me, you can ask whatever you want at all and it'll happen. That's not the sense. It said, because you're in my word, you abide in me, then what happens is your prayer is going to change. You're going to pray according to my will. In Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We want direction in our life. Where do we find that? We find it primarily in God's word. It is a lamp to my feet. It directs me, it guides me, it gives me confidence. You know, when you're walking and you're going in an unfamiliar place, you want to have a flashlight so you can walk more confidently. And what we see is God's word is that light unto our path in an unknown place, and God's word will light and give us direction and confidence. If, James chapter 1, verse 5 through 6, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So there's a promise in words of God. in God's Word. There's a promise, and what we're going to do is we're going to seek to find promises in God's Word. When we find a promise, then we know that's something we can ask with confidence because it's according to His will. So if you ever need wisdom, we can ask God because His Word promises that all you have to do is ask and He'll give it to you. And I was talking to someone earlier this week. As a matter of fact, it was Dan and Abby Brom out in overseas. I can't say where. And one of the things, we were talking about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And he said, yeah, people have these degrees or whatever, and they think they're wise. I said, no, wisdom is the godly application of knowledge. Just because you have a lot of knowledge doesn't mean you're wise. So God promises to give us wisdom when we need it. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 22, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For what? For this is the will of God. Right there. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but testing everything, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So we see in here some of God's moral will, moral law, and we say, okay, this is what, if we're wondering, should I do this or should I not, this might be one of the sections of Scripture you turn to, because it's saying, okay, this is the will of God. Do these things. This is what honors God. What we'll find, what you'll find is this. It is so critical that you know the Word of God when it comes to praying the will of God. You have to know the Word. The Word and prayer have to come together. They're like two wings on a bird. They have to come together, both as part of our time with the Lord. As we open up the Word, we read it, we start seeing it, then we automatically move into using His Word as a basis for our prayer. That's where we can find the confidence that we need when we pray. That's where we can find greater faith when we pray, because we can look at God's Word and say, this is what it says in your Word, Lord. It says this, if anyone lacks wisdom, all I would have to do is ask you and you would give it. So God, I'm asking you. You see, you pray the Word of God right there. I'm asking you for wisdom, so please give it. So our faith, our wisdom, and our confidence increase as we go to the Word of God to find out the will of God, and we want to pray according to the will of God. Now, here's something we have to be careful about. Sometimes we want to presume that there is something in the Word of God as a promise that is not a promise. Okay, so we want to claim a bunch of stuff in there that's not a promise. Okay, or we take a promise and we kind of twist it a little bit. For example, there's this great job, right? And you are unemployed and there's this fabulous job. And so you're saying, you know what, God? I can pray with confidence that you're going to give me this job because your word says that you will take care of all my needs according to your riches and glory. That's not what it says there. It doesn't say, I will give you this job to meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. It says that He'll meet our needs, okay? But He didn't say that job is how He was going to do it. So what we like to do is we like to massage things. We like to move them and twist them and put words in God's mouth almost. And then what happens is when it doesn't occur, we're mad at God. Well, you promised and you didn't. So we have to be careful how we do things, how we pray. It's so easy to presume upon God, look for a promise in the Word that maybe isn't a promise in the Word, or take something that is a promise and kind of twist it so it moves us in the direction that we personally want. So be careful with that. Be careful. It's so easy to do. What I want to encourage you to do is this. Saturate your prayer with the Word. Saturate your prayer time with the Word. You cannot go wrong wondering, is this the will of God, as you pray the Word of God. You know, this morning we asked, God, would you pour out your Spirit upon this church today? That's a biblical prayer. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do is this. Pray Saturate your prayer with the Word and pray big biblical prayers. Pray big biblical prayers. God, would you send revival to this area? That's what we prayed this morning in our prayer time. By the way, if you get an opportunity on Sunday mornings before the first service at 8:30, we gather people downstairs in the basement in a little room right down the road from the library. Come and join us in prayer. And that was one of the prayers we prayed today. God, pour out your Spirit upon this body today. God, send revival to this area. Stir up the Christians, God. Cause them to pursue you and delight in you. God, do this work in this body today. Lord, anoint the people, all the pastors that are preaching your word today that are gospel-centered. God, pour out your Spirit upon them. Those are big prayers. Pray big prayers. Big prayers. God, save the lost in our community. So, saturate, when you're looking to pray the will of God, saturate your prayer with the Word. Pray big prayers. And I will say this, this is something that I learned years ago. When you pray big prayers, it's easy to get discouraged. And here's why. God, save all the people in my family. They're lost. God, would you, by your grace and mercy, would you save them? And what happens is this, we don't see anything. So we can get discouraged. I prayed for many, 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 many years and was discouraged at one point for my family. And what happened was I prayed one day, I said, God, I feel so frustrated. Would you just please give me a sign that you're doing anything? And I remember going home that Christmas and my mom said, hey, Dan, you should ask your brother David what he asked for Christmas. And I said, okay, well, whatever. And walk over there. And he said, hey, what did you ask for Christmas? And he reached in and he pulled out a cross. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, see, Dan, I've been working. So one of the things that you can do for encouragement is we usually pray these all or nothing prayers, right? Heal them completely. We're asking for a miraculous healing. We prayed for that as well today in our prayer time. But God, give us, would you cause a miraculous healing to happen here? And so many times what we can do is instead of an all or nothing prayer, pray for something. Lord, would you move them a step closer to salvation? Lord, would you continue the healing in their body? God, would you? So what we do is we pray, God, do a work. And I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm asking you to do something today. And what happens is then little things start happening that encourage you in your faith, and they build you up. And many times, God does work in steps like that. Take a look at Mark in the Gospel, chapter 8, verse 23. And he, meaning Jesus, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? Now this is Jesus. So he didn't run out of power or didn't know what he was doing. This is Jesus. Okay, so there was a purpose why this is in the Word of God. And I think this is part of the purpose. And he looked up and he said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. I can see more than I used to. So what happens? Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. And he opened his eyes. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. You see, I see that as part of in God's word saying, you know what, sometimes what we need to do is just ask God to do it in stages because this is a picture of Jesus. Certainly he could have laid hands on this man and he could have seen immediately. Why didn't he? I think it was for us. Saying, you know what, Dan, pray. Trust me. My will is there. But I do my work sometimes hidden behind the scenes and in increments. So pray for that. That'll encourage you in your prayer time. Instead of all or nothing prayers, God, would you do something in this situation? So I want to encourage you in that area. So some of these is, you know, when we're looking for the will of God, it's very clear in the Word of God when it's revealed. Okay, this is the will of God. But how do you pray when you don't know what God's specific will is? How do you pray then? Well, we would say that there's the revealed will of God and there's a secret or providential will of God, that God is still going to do these things, but we don't know what they are. We don't know how it's going to be handled. So how do we, does that always have to be like that in the secret? Old song we used to sing in the church. You know what? Sometimes I think when we ask God to reveal His will that is not clearly outlined in His Word, He'll give us direction. He'll open up our eyes to see what His will is. But we got to ask Him. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, would you show me, would you help me to see what you're doing? And the challenge is that we must then learn to discern between our own thoughts, which may be assisted by counsel that we get from others. So we have to be able to discern between our own thoughts. The enemy will speak to you, will give you a sense. You know, he's an angel of light, and he's a deceiver, and he's the accuser of the body, or the Lord. So, okay, now we're asking God, Lord, what is your will in this situation? I want to pray according to your will. And so these are the three voices that we might get a sense from, leading us and guiding us. So how do we discern between those voices? First of all, you need to know you don't have to be special. You don't have to have some special gift of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to discern between the voice of the Lord and the other voices and noises out there. You don't have to be special, but you do have to be willing to listen. You do have to be willing to put in the work of listening and being careful. Well, we start with the same place we started at, with the revealed will of God. So what we start with is the Word of God. We start with the Word of God. Lord, I want to know your will in this situation. So we start with the Word of God because that is the objective filter to discern all kind of subjective leaning, sensing, promptings, whatever term you want to put on it. So we start with the Word of God. And what we do is we apply general principles to help us determine what to pray. Okay, general principles. Okay, if I'm going through general principles, I'm going to pray for somebody to, Lord, should I pray for this person to be saved? First of all, I know that God desires that all would be saved, but yet at the same time, not all are going to be saved. We know that. I also know that God is sovereign, and I can't change that. God has determined that. I also know that for some reason, God works through prayer, and prayer is part of God's plan. So I'm going, okay, all these principles are coming together. I don't know. But God, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for this person because I might be a part of that process that you have ordained. So I'm going to pray for their salvation. So what you do is you bring the principles of God together. Okay, this is an opportunity that I have. It is maybe a job opportunity. And I say, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? And then I start going through the principles because there's nowhere where I'm going to find Dan take the job at wherever. It's not going to be in there. So how do I discern that? How do I pray? Or Dan, go to China as a missionary. Oh, okay, it's not in the Word of God. Wherever I look, I haven't seen anything in there for me like that. So I take the principles. Okay, God, if it comes to a job, you did promise that you would supply all my needs because that's one truth. And God, is there other truths? You know, I'm thinking that it's going to be probably okay. I mean, you know, I'm probably going to grow in my walk, I hope. There's unbelievers there, and God, that gives me an opportunity to share the gospel. But what's my primary motive? Why? What's my heart behind it? See, now I'm starting to take God's principles, looking at truths that I find in God's Word, and taking them and applying them to the situation, saying, okay, I want to try to discern your will in this, God. Should I quit my job and go be a missionary over here? Is this what you're calling me to do? How would I apply this? How would I take your principles and apply them to this situation? What we need to do is this. We need to understand a baseline for God's will in all of our lives. And this is not just for us, but for others. The baseline in this is God's perfect will for your life is this, that you're conformed to the image of Jesus. If you want to know the main will of God in your life, his heart is that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus so that he would be glorified. So we know, okay, am I going to be conformed to the image of Jesus? This is really the heart of God. God's will is that I would glorify his name by being conformed to the image of Jesus. So we know that that's a baseline. But what we do then is we take whatever it is and we say, okay, here's the truths of God's word. And I'm going to take what I'm sensing maybe the leading, but then I have to do something else. Why? What are the results? I touched on this just a bit. Why do I want to do this? What's my motive behind it? What's my desire behind wanting this to happen? God, is this so that people would think well of me? Is this so I can get rich? I mean, you know, we all have our excuses, right? God, I'm praying for the perfect numbers for the lottery. Give me your numbers, Lord. Give me the numbers, God. Cha-ching! Why? Well, because I'm going to give like 50% of it away to the poor. So my motives are pure, right? See, we take why, not just what, but why. And we take that and we take the Word of God and the principles in the Word of God that although there's nothing specifically that says do this or don't do that, we take the Word of God, the principles in the Word of God, we take whatever that situation is and we sift it and we, through the Word of God, where do we stand? Is this what God wants me to do? Is this God's direction? Is this God's will for my life or their life? We take it through the Word of God, and that becomes our screen. So the first step in trying to determine something that is not the revealed will of God is to go through and say, okay, I'm still going to go back to the Word of God, and I'm going to understand the principles, and I'm going to take this situation, and I'm going to use it for the Word of God. Should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? Et cetera, et cetera. All these things. Well, the next one is it is really difficult. This is a hard step. And I was thinking about how do you lay out steps? Because people, you know, I want to know how to do this. Give me the steps. Because that's the way we are. We are works-oriented people, right? We want, just give me the list of how to do it, Dan. I'll do it and it'll be automatic. And I used to be under a pastor that he'd always give you like 5 or 7 steps. And I always got frustrated because I'd get to the first 2 and I'd forget the last 4. And I go, oh, no, I can never know. I can never walk in holiness because I forgot the last 5 steps. So I tried to just bring it into 2. First one, God's word. Second one is really, really difficult. And it's this. This is hard because of the flesh. We need to set God's will before our own. That's tough. That's tough. Take a look at God's word. James chapter 4, 2 through 3. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. Do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive. This is really what we're talking about here. Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And then in Luke chapter 22, 42 to 43. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, not my will, but yours. And you see what our loving Father did? He strengthened him for the difficult task ahead. And he will do that for us. And I love the quote from George Mueller. Seek to have no will of your own, so that you can honestly say you are willing to do the will of God. This is so difficult. This is such a challenge to separate out our own will. Because prayer may seem to be pure, but it can be quite selfish. You know, numerous things. It could be something from just straight up greed. Lord, I want this because I need more money. It could be something like loneliness. Lord, I want to get married. And so you know, is this is your provision. We can have wrong motives, and then our prayer moved in that direction because our heart wants it, and it might not be God's will. And one of the ways that you can kind of tell sometimes, not always, but you can tell, is that you see that your prayer is more focused on your own personal comfort or security than it is on God's purposes. This is the wise business move. It might be, but is God saying, do that? Or is God telling me to do unwise things all the time? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that so many times our prayer and our determination of God's will is really based on our own personal comfort and our own security more so than God's purposes. I know I can struggle with this. If there's a missionary that comes in or a need that I see and I get caught up in the, well, I have to take care of my future and I've got to do this instead of just giving financially, or I'm selfish with my time and say, you know what, I'm not going to go do that. I have a right to be relax. Well, maybe I'm supposed to be uncomfortable and move over there and serve God by doing that thing that makes me uncomfortable physically. Do things that maybe I don't want to do because I don't like to do that. So when we look at the will of God, we get to that place where we're saying that this secret will, the providential will of God, that, Lord, is this something that you want? And we don't understand it sometimes. We don't understand what God's going to do. We don't get it. I sent out a letter, an email to someone this week. I just felt strongly impressed that I needed to just encourage them. So I sent out an email and got a phone call back and they told me how much that meant because of what was going on in their life. Well, I had no idea. I really didn't want to do it. To be honest, what happened was the Lord laid it on my heart earlier that day in the morning, and I didn't do anything with it. I was going to bed at night, and the Holy Spirit was still banging on my head saying, Dan, don't forget. And I went, okay, and I sent it out. So it's not like I'm, you know, constantly obeying the Holy Spirit. I just didn't do it. And then I did, and I was so glad I did because I thought, you know, okay, why didn't I do it? I didn't want to hassle with it. I didn't want to sit down. So little things like that, little ways that God guides and directs. So sometimes what we find is that we're more focused on our own comfort and security rather than God's purposes. And here's another thing that I find that helps me determine, is this the will of God for my life? Or even when I'm giving counsel to someone else, are they running from something or running to something? That's huge. I don't like my neighbor. He's been giving me problems. I'm going to sell my house and move. Why? Because I don't like my neighbor. Well, why are you going to go over here? Well, just to get away from my neighbor. Maybe God's got a call on that person's life, and you're part of the answer to the prayer that people have been praying. See, so many times we run from things rather than running to things. Why do I want to do this? To get away from something? Or am I running to something? Is God calling me to do this? God, what is your will? Show me your will. And that is huge. So many times I find, you know, God, I'm really running away from something here. I'm really running away from it. So those are little things that help me personally. God, is this more about my comfort than your glory, your will? Is this really about me running away from something because I'm in an uncomfortable situation that I don't like being in? And maybe that's part of God's sanctification process in my life. I'm in a hard situation, a hard job, and things are tough, and God is using that not only to work in my life, to sand off some of those rough edges that I have. And you know, Dan, it's easy for you to love the people that love you, but how about if I teach you how to love people that don't love you? Whoa, I don't like that, God. I'm going to get out of here. You know, what happens usually, at least I found this in my life, is when that happens, then he just brings you to another person who's even worse than the previous one. Boy, I wish I would have stayed there. It wasn't as bad over there. Right? We do that. We say, well, why did I do this? This was stupid. I should have just stayed there. We're running away. But I want to run to things. Kyle and Shelley ran to something in Texas. Okay? God was calling them. It was easier for them to stay here. Nope, I'm going to send you down there. I'm running to something. Not going to run away from the cold. Although that was just extra blessing there, right, Kyle? No snowblower for Kyle. So you see, are you running to something, not running away from something? And it applies to your friends too. Those are questions you can ask them. You know, I've asked people this so many times. So why do you want to marry this person? Are you in love with them, or are you in love with being in love? Because there's a big difference. There's a big difference. You're just tired of being lonely, and this is the person who you think can end that. That's no reason. You're not running to anything. You do not love that person. I can't be without them, and they love Jesus. So what you do is you realize, hey, you know what? God, I want to run to something. I want to run to your will. I want to take that. I'm going to run to something, and I'm going to look at your word, and is this going to glorify your name? Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but does it glorify your name? And I want to pursue those things, God. I want to chase after those things in my life. You'll find that God's will is usually the path of greater sacrifice and commitment. That is really hard for us in the Western world. That's really hard. But that's usually what we find. It's costly to follow Jesus. You know, that whole thing in Scripture, you know, deny yourself, lay down your life, be crucified to yourself, all that stuff that's in there, yep. That's what it's talking about. Because Jesus is worthy. We could not find any greater joy than when we pursue Jesus, when we delight in him. You see, it's not about, oh, you got to do the hard things just to prove what a great Christian you are. The delights that are there for honoring and walking with Jesus. So it's one of those things to take a look at. Why? God, what is this? I want to know your direction here. I want to know your will. I've searched your word. I've seen these principles. I'm really not running away from something. I think I'm running to something. And so what you do is you continue to pursue God. Our own will sinfully stands in the way of praying for God's will. And get this right now. That's why prayer is part of God's sanctification process. You see that? You see, we think prayer is just about making our request known to God. Prayer is part of, in God's great, incredible wisdom, is that prayer was going to be a part of the sanctification process in our lives. That what God was going to do was he was going to use prayer. Yes, it's this beautiful picture of if we're in a relationship with someone, it's a two-way communication, and we know that God speaks to us through his word and his spirit, and we also know that we speak to God through prayer. So it's this beautiful picture of this relationship with our living God. But God also has something beyond that, another purpose behind it, and it's part of our sanctification process, because what happens is this: prayer is a way that God brings us his priorities. He causes us to be in line with his priorities. We start praying for something, and all of a sudden we realize, boy, that's a ridiculous prayer. Why am I praying that? This is crazy. God wouldn't want that, or I shouldn't do that. You see how God uses prayer to shift things and change us and line us up with his priorities. Part of it is the word is coming in there and the spirit of God moving in our hearts. And next week we're going to be talking about our needs. And this is one of the areas that it's so easy to get carried away and be more concerned about our own personal comfort and other things. And yet God wants to take us and he wants to align us with his priorities. And so many times he does that, at least for me in prayer. Really, Dan, is that really what you want? You think that that's what would most honor and glorify me? Oh, no, you know. I'll never forget. It was this is going to sound funny to some of you, but my whole life, I had dreamed about owning a 1934 Ford Deuce Coupe. That's what I wanted. I mean, that was my car. And so I'd pine away and, you know, yeah, maybe someday, Lord. And one of my friends, Jeff Nofke, his dad owned Nofke Auto Body. His dad had a 32, it was 32 Deuce Coupe. See, I even forgot the year, which is a good thing. And he brought it to my house. And this was a show winner. This was on top of a the cover of a magazine, like Hot Rod magazine. I went, oh, and he brought it to my house. I thought, this is it. He said, Dan, do you want to drive it? Oh, heck yeah. Opened up the door, had suicide doors. Oh, yeah, this is exactly what I want. Slid my booty in there, closed the door, and Jeff is sitting next to me, like right here. And the windshield is this. I always wanted a chopped deuce. Got to have a chopped deuce. And I sat in that car for literally 15 seconds and thought, I don't want this car. This is uncomfortable. Who would want this? My whole life I want this. It was my priority. And God said, no, Dan, you don't need that. And prayer is what God shifts and shakes us. It's part of his process of refining us to be more like Christ, to desire the things of God above our own will. And prayer is a good, glorious, wonderful way that God does that for us, to realign our priorities with his. And what happens is that we must be transformed, as the word says, by the renewing of our mind to know the perfect will of God. And then to selflessly surrender our own preference to the Lord's wisdom. That is hard. I'm not saying it's easy. That is hard. To take God's word and pour out God's word on the situation and have it to bear. And then to somehow, God, would you please take my flesh out of this? You know my heart. God, please take my heart out of this. I want your will above my own. That is so hard. That's such a challenge. Fasting and prayer is good for that. To kind of say, God, I need to separate myself from my own desires and my own flesh. God, I want your will above my own comfort, my own security, my own desires, God. And I can't do that. And I desperately need you to do that in my heart. God, do this work. So you do all that. And you sense kind of through examining the word of God and putting scripture to bear on the situation and taking all these principles and moving them together and through counsel from others. And then you get this inner peace, you know, that you kind of think, yeah, I think this is what God wants. I think this is what he wants. Then you know what you do? You pray with faith. You pray with faith for what seems to you like it's the will of God. You just pray. You try, okay, God, I think this is where you're leading me. Make it happen. Take a look at God's word. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How are we transformed by the renewal of our mind? With the washing of the word of God. He sets our priorities according to his priorities. So what happens is he changes us. That by testing, that's taking the word of God, laying it over against whatever it is, taking those principles, testing it according to the word of God, my own heart, etc. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. What is the good and acceptable and perfect. Okay? In Acts chapter 15, 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. It seemed good. It's like that prompting of the Holy Spirit. It seems right. I think this is the way I'm supposed to go. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Usually that's a sign that it's not God, by the way. You know, God leads. He doesn't push. So, you know. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What will happen? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's something about seeking the will of God, trusting God, and finding a direction that God is leading you in, and praying for others. This is true with others. That's why so many times when somebody says, I got an aunt or somebody who needs prayer for healing, and the first question I ask is, do you know if they're saved or not? Why? Because to me, that's the priority. I want to pray for their salvation if they're lost. And so what we see here is that when we ask God to lead us and guide us and he gives us direction, there is usually this peace of God that comes along with that. Usually the peace of God that comes along with that. Which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, in James chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, We will live and do this or that. We pray and we trust that this is God's will. There's, it's okay to pray, Lord, if it's your will, do this, if you really don't know. But it is wrong if you know it is God's will and you pray, oh, if it's your will. God says very clearly in his word that believers and unbelievers should not be married. So you can pray all you want. But I have the peace of God, contrary to the word of God. It's not God. It's that simple. It's, you know, there's no argument here because God's word is the revealed will of God, and so we know that. And so many times what we do is we want to make, if it's your will, God, well, if it is contrary to the word of God, it's not God. I don't care how much peace you think you have, or when something is hard that you know God's calling you to do, well, I don't have God's peace about that. Well, because it's hard or because you don't have God's peace? You got to separate the two out. I think I should leave my spouse. Why? Because, I'm not happy. I mean, the word of God talks about reasons, but that's not one of them. So you look at it and you go, oh my goodness, I feel led by God. I have the peace of God to leave my spouse. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. One of the things that I've learned when I'm praying about something and I think it's God's leading is, Lord, if this is not your will, would you just confuse my thoughts? Would you silence this? Because I'm confused. I'm not sure. Just confuse this. And it's amazing how God has done that. And that's one of the keys that have helped me at times to not make decisions, because all of a sudden it's like it was gone. And all of a sudden my eyes open up and I go, oh my goodness, how could I even thought of that, Lord? Why did I think that was you directing me? And what happens when we pray this prayer is that God may respond by giving you a sense of assurance that it is his will. I do want you to go and be a missionary over here. I do want you to do this. Or he'll change your desires, like he did with mine in that Deuce Coupe. Sometimes he'll give you additional insight and direction from the word. You didn't think about this, and all of a sudden you go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Or he'll give you additional insight about the situation. Suddenly you realize, and somebody tells you through the grapevine, oh yeah, did you know about this? And you go, wow, I couldn't do that because I can't lie. And this boss constantly asks his people to be dishonest with their sheets, and I can't do that. I can't do that. So you didn't know it before. And you're praying and asking God for wisdom and guidance, and all of a sudden things start coming to you, and you go, oh wow, I didn't know that. I can't do that because that would hurt my witness to Christ, for Christ, and it would, it's not healthy for me spiritually or maybe in even another way. So God does those things. So trust him. God's ultimate will is to bring glory to himself. And his primary will for your life is that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus. And that's a great, great thing to be. You cannot be happier than that. Prayer is a part of God's process. Your will be done when we pray that, when he's talking about that here in this prayer, is an appeal for God's revealed moral will to be followed in the world, in your life, in Christians, in lost people. God, draw them to yourself, and in the church as it is in heaven. It's a prayer, God, cause your will to be done, to be followed, to be pursued, your revealed will. Take a look. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God, that's my heart. And in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Isn't that the process of finding that will of God that's not clear in the word of God? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He'll make it clear. Don't worry. Don't fret. You've got a big God. He can take care of you. He can guide you and direct you. So this is an appeal for God's revealed will to be followed on the earth. It is also an appeal for God's providential will to be fulfilled as revealed by the Holy Spirit. God, you know your full will, the revealed and the hidden. And I'm asking that you get it done. Lord, thy will. What we're praying is this: enable me to be obedient to do all your will. and to do it with the same fervor, the same joy, the same selflessness that the angels in heaven do it. Lord, that's how I want to do it. Not begrudgingly. I want to do it with joy, just as it's done in heaven. I want to do it here on earth, God. That's the cry in this little part. Thy will be done. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, God, help us to desire your will above our own. That seems to be the greatest stumbling block in my life, Lord. So God, I pray that you would work in us as a body to see the great delight it is in doing your will above our own. We get caught up in the busyness of the world and we put the things of the world ahead of you. Forgive us, Lord. Cause us to treasure the things that you treasure and to put aside the things that you don't. Help us to have an eternal value system, God. And help us to walk in it by the power of your Spirit so that our joy would be complete. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.